Here we are. This is it. This is the last time you're going to see the slide. We're done with Leviticus and our devotions. This is it. We have reached the finale of Leviticus. It was a long, long, long book. And I'm glad that we worked through it together. Yay. Is that Noelle saying yay? Yes, Noelle. You're with us. She's like, yay. Guess what book we're going into next? The book of, who said that? Revelation. Somebody said Revelations. Yes, we're going into Revelation next in November. So by next Sunday, we'll start to kick off. And I think we only have about 6 weeks in Revelation. I've taught it before, but not in 6 weeks. So we're gonna definitely do overview, but kind of check out some of the things, some passages to look at in there. Should be pretty exciting. And if you've never, if you have never really gone through a study of Revelation, it is not easy. So we're going into a not easy book, into another not easy book. But I think through the class, it'll help us. So I really encourage you to follow along in the devotional material. I saw Kai's email. He's so polite. He's like, if you would like to continue, please let me know. The way I would ask it is, I'm assuming everyone's going to continue. You have to let me know if you want to stop reading the Bible. But he's asking in a kind and gracious way. But I hope you all stick in as we go through Revelation day by day. If you don't have the material, you could use Living Life online. And you could at least follow on with the daily readings, or at least for the week. If you want to read it in chunks, you could read it and follow along. Because we're going to go through Revelation here in the class. Okay, so stick along for that journey. I really hope that God will lead us in that process. Pray for me just knowing how to teach this stuff. I'm still learning how to be a teacher, and especially with concepts in Revelation or like Leviticus, which went really long. How do I keep things relevant in the class, or how do I take something really, really rich and unpack it in a simplified manner so that we could all be engaged and find delight in learning about God's word? So pray for me as well, okay, in that process. Okay, so today what I elected to do is we get to practice. Okay, so we're gonna review in probably just like 2 minutes how we are to read the book of Leviticus, and then I chose a passage that was in our devotions like 2 weeks ago that I remember doing the devotions in, and another brother had texted me and was like, "Hey, did you read devotions today? A few of the questions really are food for thought." And I thought, "Hey, that was a great text to kind of go through." We're gonna try to do that today. And then we're gonna also, if you have your devotionals, we could see how the Dorado Living Life people actually did, on their hermeneutic of it, and all right, you guys with me? So we're gonna practice today. We're gonna review real quick these few points, and then we're gonna do it together here, right? So actually, before we review, I'm glad my mug is there. I want you guys. No, my mug is there. Intentionally. I want you to, how many numbers were there? There are about 3 points of how to read any law section in the Old Testament. Okay? Review with each other. How should we review? How should we think about it when we're going to read God's word when it pertains to the Old Testament law genre? Genre. How do you say genre in Chinese? Kevin, genre. Google for me. Right? So, because we know that the Bible is full of different genres. There's poetry. There's wisdom. There's narrative, which is the story sections. There's miracles are actually a genre. Parables are a genre. How do you say genre?
Lei xing.
Lei xing. Okay, so the different lei xing in the Bible, right? Well, this Leviticus has to do with Old Testament law. And so, what are the things? Review with your little group how we should read it, and then we're going to practice it together with the text. Okay, so take 1 minute. I'm going to just erase this board, and then you guys are going to review. Go, review. Okay, that's 1 minute, okay? All right, you guys have it? Anybody, give me some ideas. Give me one. Go. How should we think about Old Testament law? Give me one.
Don't import New Testament.
Okay, right. Don't think about New Testament concepts and load it into the Old. It doesn't exist yet. But I said don't be quick to do that, right? So don't start with that. We have to start with understanding who was writing this, who is it for at that time. So when we talk about hermeneutics and when we do Bible studies, we first have to understand what was the meaning of that to that people, to the recipients first. Then we could think about what does this mean for us as a New Testament idea. Is this talking about something that is pointing to Jesus? Is this talking about something that might point to New Testament believers? We do that after we understand what does it mean to those people hearing it. That's all Bible studies. And that's an exciting part of Bible study. You never want to do a Bible study where you're like, hey, we're reading Old Testament. What does this mean to you? What? No. What does it mean to them first? And then at the very end of that, we will say, what does it mean to me? Right? So whenever we study that, there's a lot of Bible studies going on in our church today, right? We have Bible studies in the Chinese group, Bible studies in the English groups. Bible studies are exciting, okay? Some people have made the comment, we don't want Bible studies. Bible studies are dry. If a Bible study is dry, I would say maybe we need to rethink about the leader, right? Or the person teaching the Bible study, because Bible studies really shouldn't be dry. It's exciting to first find out what was the author saying to the recipients at that time. That's an exciting part. That's part of the hermeneutic, right? Saying, all right, what does it mean for them at that time? And then later we ask, what would that mean to us today, right? So very good, Tim. That's one of the concepts. Don't import a New Testament concepts into Old Testament law too quick. What's another idea that we need to have when we read Old Testament law? Huh? Okay, there's an Old Testament cake. Okay, so what is the Old Testament cake when we read it? I'll get my markers out. Do you guys remember what the Old Testament cake was? There's three layers to a cake, right? Three layers. And the bottom layer is, we think about the individual, right? The individual, like Moses or Abraham, or Joseph's a great hero, David. That's individual. I call it the children worship level. No offense to any children worship leaders. That's kind of like the children Sunday school level. Let's do it that way. Children Sunday school level, because Nancy's revamped children worship, man. We're going all finding Christ all in the scripture. It's powerful. So let's call it children Sunday school level, right? So that's the individual. David, wow, he's the man. He's the man after God's own heart. And we can start there, but we got to go to the next layer of the cake, which is what? What does this passage tell us about what? Who?
Nation.
The nation. The nation, the people, the nation in conflict with God. And most importantly, the top part of the cake, which has all the goodies, we want to ask ourselves, what is this passage telling me about? The hero, God, right? Good. So we got the cake. We got don't import New Testament concepts too quick. What else do we have?
If it's repeated in the New Testament.
Okay, so how does it apply to us today as a New Covenant believer? If it's repeated to us in the New Covenant, a lot of it's set up around the greatest command and the second greatest command by Jesus. Good, right? Jesus says, love the Lord your God and love others, your neighbor as yourself, right? Those are the two greatest commandments for the New Testament and other things that are repeated, right? That confirms us. Good. How else should we read? Number one, we need to understand when we're reading Old Testament law, what framework was that under? That was where we ended last week, because the Old Testament law says don't eat shrimp. Don't eat shellfish, lobster, right? Don't round the edges of your temple or your beard. Dr. Wong, have you grown out your beard yet for us to see? Can you do that once for us? Can you grow out a bushy beard and not mar the edges? Because the Old Testament says, don't mar it, right? Nancy, did you wear clothing today with two types of fabric? No. And, right, so those are all new. But all these things, Noel thinks it's funny, right? See, so all these things, when we read Old Testament law, what do we need to understand it as? It falls under what? The Mosaic Covenant. Very good. And are we in the Mosaic Covenant today? No, but we have to understand that that's what it's under. And we spent many weeks in Leviticus understanding why. Why did God give them this covenant? Why was it a one-sided or two-sided covenant? Because when God made a covenant with Abraham, it was what we call unilateral. It was called, I will do this. I will fulfill it. But with Moses and the people of Israel at that time, God said, this is a if-then. This is a bilateral covenant. There are two parts of the agreement. If you do this, you will be blessed. If you don't do this, you will be what? Cursed. It's right there. Leviticus, Deuteronomy, we see it over and over again. It's a conditional covenant. Whew, that's pretty loaded. We got to understand that this was all a part of that. And we said last week, it shows certain things. Now I want to see if you guys remember that as you study the word today. All right? So those are the review. We have these three things, right? So when we read the passage we're about to read, remember, it's part of a covenant, okay? Number two, don't be too quick to import New Testament ideas in. Number three, remember the Old Testament cake, right? Therefore, you're going to ask questions like, what does this tell me about God? What does it tell me about Israel and her sin? And then lastly, how should I respond to this as a New Testament, New Covenant believer? All right, you guys with me? That's a flyby, okay? You should already know this stuff. So what we're going to do today is we're going to read the passage like you would in devotions. We're not going to go super, super, super deep today, but I want you to read it as if you're reading that text today for your devotions, like I did 2 weeks ago. And then we're going to observe, because that's what you should do when you read God's word. You should circle words, you know, highlight words, write question marks. I don't understand this. What does this mean? We're going to do that together. And the basic questions of, what do you call this in elementary school? These type of questions, what do you call them? There's a name for these. Huh?
Is it observation
questions? Observation questions. It's not interrogative questions, is it? No? Anybody remember? Okay, anyways. Who, what, when, where, and why? I love the why question. Always ask the why question. And then we'll read some references if we want to. You know, if you're in your devotions, sometimes your Bible will have a little reference section in there. If you want to, you have extra time, kind of go there. Sometimes we don't. It's okay. And then we'll ask these questions. Is that fair? Okay, so this is our process. This is like a devotional morning we're going to do together. Or we're going to do it together as a class. Is that fair? Okay. All right, so here's our text. Turn your Bibles, if you would like. I believe this is Leviticus 22, because that was a few weeks ago. And if you don't have Bibles, we have some Bibles here, or you pull it up on your phone. We have Chinese, English, all that. But this is probably one, what we would call pericope. It's kind of like one unit that would go together. And we'll do smart board first, and then we're gonna divide this sucker up, and then we're gonna start making our notes on this, okay? All right, smart board first. Let's get our high tech board going. Okay, oops, I just let me shred this room. Okay, here we go. This works. Everybody can see? Would I be able to, everyone can see this? How about if the font was even smaller? This is okay too, right? Yeah. Good, bueno, okay. Dr. Wong, would you do us the honor, read the passage for us? Test your eyesight here. just read it. Read it for us.
Just read it here.
Okay, whatever. 17 through 33.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons and all the people of Israel, and say to them, when any one of the house of Israel or of the sojourners in Israel presents a burnt offering as his offering for any of their vows or freewill offerings that they offer to the Lord, if it is to be accepted for you, it shall be made a male without blemish of the bulls or the sheep or the goats. You shall not offer anything that has a blemish, for it will not be acceptable for you. And when anyone offers a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord to fulfill a vow, or as a freewill offering from the herd or from the flock, to be accepted, it must be perfect. There shall be no blemish in it. Animals blind or disabled or mutilated or having a discharge or an itch or scabs, you shall not offer to the Lord or give them to the Lord as a food offering on the altar. You may present a bull or a lamb that has a part too long or too short for a freewill offering, but for a vow offering it cannot be accepted. Any animal that has its testicles bruised or crushed or torn or cut, you shall not offer to the Lord. You shall not do it within your land, neither shall you offer as the bread of your God any such animals gotten from a foreigner. Since there is a blemish in them because of their mutilation, they will not be accepted for you." And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "When an ox or sheep or goat is born, it shall remain 7 days with its mother, and from the eighth day on it shall be acceptable as a food offering to the Lord. But you shall not kill an ox or a sheep or her young in one day. And when you sacrifice a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, you shall sacrifice it so that you may be accepted. It shall be eaten on the same day. You shall leave none of it until morning. I am the Lord. So you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. And you shall not profane my holy name, that I may be sanctified among the people of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord."
Okay, great. Now, Auntie Kim has her devotional book open to this passage. This is great. You could write on your Bibles. If you're reading this for devotions, you might just be like, whoa, what? So let's just pause for a second, because not everybody is helped like me. I don't really prefer when other people read. It doesn't help me. I don't really understand it better. But we're going to start using our markers, and we're going to start to pick off some things to give us just understanding first. What would you say is some of the key words that reflect what this is about? What is this little passage about? Because right before it, it's talking about the priests and how the priests got to be, you know, get their stuff together. And this now talks about what? Give me a one word that kind of sums this up.
Offering.
Offerings. Okay, this is about offerings. Yeah, everybody nod your heads if you're in agreement. Okay, it's about offerings. Now, there's a lot of words here. What would be your first question as you observe this? Obviously, yes, you do see offering. So we see, you know, offering here, offering. We see offering. So this is all about offerings. Right? Okay, good. But what's one of your questions as you're reading through this? You're going to start to ask what? What would you ask first?
Who is this addressed to?
Okay, who is this addressed to? Right. And since you're doing your devotions in Leviticus, you know that this is addressed to whom? This is being addressed to whom?
Israel.
Okay, Israel, right? He's speaking to Moses, to Aaron and his sons, and what? What does it say?
All
the people of Israel, right? So this is to Israel. Regarding offerings. Okay, good. Good. What other question would you ask? Even just for clarification. What would you ask next?
What is acceptable?
Okay, so Mabel's saying that there's something. Where do you see that? Do you see anything acceptable in here?
The last verse 25.
Yes. Okay. All right. You want me to underline that? Okay. Good. So something in here has to be that something will be accepted for you. And we see other words of acceptance, do we not? Do we see it here?
Verse 20.
Verse 20. Okay, good. Where else do we see the word accepted?
Verse 23.
Good, 23, right? Otherwise, it cannot be accepted. Good.
19.
Good. See, you guys are starting to pick off these ideas here. Even as you just read through it, you may not have recognized a word, but in your English, you're seeing the word repeated in your mind, right? You're seeing something about being accepted. It has to be acceptable. So this is talking about offerings that are has something to do with being accepted or acceptable before God. What makes you acceptable to do this, right? Good. Anywhere else do you find the word acceptable or that concept? Great. Okay, so we assume that there's more. So now we're seeing a trend. We're getting a picture. We're like, okay, this is talking about offerings. Now, what other question would you have? I know for me, I was like, man, there's a lot of different types of offering here. Let's find out the different offerings. I'll change the color on our smart board. What are the different offerings mentioned? Okay, you got burnt. Uh-huh. You got a free will, but you also have this vow offering. What else?
Peace.
Okay, where's peace? 21. You got a peace offering, right? Again, you have the vow and free will offering. You have... Okay, now you see there's a difference between free will and vow, okay? Because some animal with a part too long, I don't know what that would mean, like one leg's too long, the tail's too long or too short. It's okay for a free will offering, but don't use that one long-legged animal for a vow offering. Okay, good. Testicles, don't like that part. Any bruised testicles... Okay, but okay, we get that. That has to do with an animal, by the way. And what other offerings do we see here? Okay, good. So we have some of these. Thanksgiving. Good pickup. Thanksgiving. We have a food offering right here, right? Okay, good. So now we're reading it and we're like, okay, now we got a bunch of different offerings. If I'm doing my devotions, do I want to take the time to look through all this stuff? I don't know. Okay. But I'll tell you that if you've been doing your devotions, you're going to remember that in the first seven chapters of... Is this clear? Okay. The first seven chapters of Leviticus talks about the five main offerings. Yeah? The five main offerings that Israel had. And there were rules that governed these offerings. There was a burnt offering. Did we read about that one? Yes. We got the grain offering, also called in some Bibles meal or tribute, okay? We have a fellowship offering, which is also called a peace offering. Did we read about that? Yes, right? Yes, peace. Nod your heads, peace. Which includes a thank offering. Did we read about that? Yes. A vow offering. Yes. And a free will offering. So we know that thanks, vow, and free will are all different types of offerings within what? The peace offering. Very good. Okay, so, of course, you wouldn't have this in your devotions, but you might remember it. And I'm going to show you that it's not the biggest deal in this particular text. Then you have a sin offering and guilt offering. Well, if I did a little quick research, I would recognize that, believe it or not, all three of these that are mentioned in our text, the burnt, the peace, which includes thank, vow, and free will, are all, look at this word, this is crazy, voluntary. These three offerings are voluntary. Because the Bible will say, when someone makes these offerings, they have to be this way. They have to be this way. When they make it, okay? Whereas the sin offering and the guilt offering that are later mentioned in chapters 4 and 5 are mandatory. Okay? We get that? So we at least see that all the offerings that are mentioned in this particular text are what? Voluntary. Okay? You got that? You guys with me? Okay. So that's where we're at right now. Okay, good. So now we know that all these are different. Free will and vow. We got peace, burn. These are the ones, and Thanksgiving. And these are all voluntary, meaning you don't have to do them. They're on a voluntary basis. Okay. Good. Now, what other questions would you ask? I'll give you some hints down here, right? Let's not get too caught up in your different offerings, which we're not going to do, but I gave you some background to it. But we have words in the text in chapter 1 through 7 to help clarify mandatory and voluntary. So let's ask questions, okay? Let's ask questions. What questions would you have? You don't have to read mine down here. Those are just some like things that I think about, but what about you? What are questions that you think about as you're reading this now for devotions? What would you ask now? Now or...
multiple times at the end.
Oh, okay. Let's see that. Uh-huh. Where?
Starting from
where?
30.
Okay, so Kai's bringing up, I am the Lord is repeated. Where? I am the Lord. Okay. Which is a big part of Leviticus. I am the Lord. What? Okay. So what question would you ask?
What is God trying to tell us what's so important about that part?
Okay.
Being in such a short...
Right. Okay. So why? Why is he repeating this? What other question would you ask? Or maybe observe. You don't have to ask a question. What else would you say?
I think for us, we know why the shedding of blood is necessary.
Okay.
But I wonder if it was, in the New Testament, we know why the shedding of blood was necessary.
Yes.
But I wonder if that was spoken to the people
yes.
at that time.
Good.
Did they understand
okay.
why that
okay.
was necessary?
Okay. So, did they know shedding of blood was necessary? Good question. Do you remember any verses, right? If we kind of been around church, do we remember any verses? How about the one that we say often that people pray? I know Brother Scott says it a lot of times when he prays. And he says, without the shedding of blood, there will be no what? Forgiveness of sins. We quote that in the prayers. Where is that from? So now we can do some digging. It's in Hebrews, but is there an Old Testament reference somewhere in the law that might help them see that? Okay. The answer is there is. Specifically that phrase, that concept, and if one of you guys can find it, that'd be great, but that's a good question. Because they needed, so Cindy's question is, I'm doing my devotions. I wonder, we know as New Testament people, there has to be shedding of blood, but did they know? But it's not just shedding of any blood. It's what? It's shedding of what? What type? Now start to make some observations. What is this telling us about offerings to God? Huh? Okay. Blemish free. What else? Give me just phrases. Go ahead. There's no wrong answer here. We're just...
It has to be the best.
Okay, it has to be the best. It must be... Look at this word right here.
Perfect.
It must be perfect. Cindy, did you find?
Yeah, 17.
Good. 17.
Oh, Leviticus 17.
Leviticus chapter 17, which specifically says what? That's okay, right? But that's actually where the text comes from.
Oh, I got it. Okay. For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I've given it to you to make atonement for yourselves.
Right.
On the altar, it is the blood that makes atonement for one's life.
That's right, okay? So that was told to the people of Israel. I've given you this process to atone. This continuous process to atone, right? Okay. But it has to be blemish free, the best, perfect. Right? What else would you ask? Yeah.
Something I think about is how hard is it to find a blemish free and perfect?
Right.
And if I were living with them at that time, and this is what we do all the time,
right?
You would probably set animals that are near perfect apart from the rest so
right.
that they have near perfect animals.
Right.
Right? So it would be the way that they would bring up the animals is setting those apart so that a group is ready.
Right. Good, 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 good. Okay. So yeah, how hard is it to find it? And as we've been doing devotions in Leviticus, believe it or not, that right from the first seven chapters, God is providing for them these instructions, but he's saying to them that you offer what you can afford. Basically, like, even in your what you have and what you can make available, if you, like, there were provisions, you can see it in chapter 1 or chapter 2, that it says for a poor, they can offer a pigeon dove, right? Instead of a full bull, because that's all they have. They can only get a pigeon. They don't have the means to find the perfect, like, lamb sacrifice or a bull, a whole bull. If I'm poor, the only thing I have is I can have access to a pigeon dove. And the Lord makes that acceptable. But great question, right? Because Nancy's like, so where do they find this? And if I'm raising my animals, because that's part of my livelihood, I'm already starting to set apart, maybe, some for the Lord. But see, I have another question, because why would God have to be so specific about this? Why would God have to tell them, this is what it has to be? It has to be without blemish. It has to be perfect. It has to be your best. Pastor James gave the answer when he preached on love, and he says, why would God have to command us to love? And the answer would be what? Because it's not natural for us to love. Right? That's what he said. We have to be commanded. But then here, why would God have to command to give the best? Because maybe if all I needed to do was to give an offering, maybe if what Nancy was saying, this is my herd, I mean, I could get a lot of money if I sell the best one. And maybe for the offering, I'll just take this mutilated one. Like, this one's kind of, it has one long leg and the testicles are bruised and I got it from a foreigner and, you know, it was already cut up for blood sacrifice before, but I'll give that one to the Lord because God just wants a sacrifice, right? It's just blood. So maybe I'll just do what I need to, the minimum. And so God is saying, here, yes, you have a question? Are you stretching? Okay. Right? So maybe God's saying this because the inclination is to not offer the best. Yeah? Any other questions here? How about this? How about if these are all voluntary offerings, like, why would an Israelite want to do this? Is it, what would motivate bringing an offering to the Lord? A thank offering? Or someone who made a vow or a free will? What would motivate them to do that?
If it benefits them.
If it benefits them, yeah. That would be one reason. What would another reason be?
If others are doing it,
you're like, I don't want to be the one Israelite who's like in the camp, not offering to God. Like, we're losers. Let's do it because everyone else is doing it. And it's going to benefit me anyways. Because my social reputation, I'm bringing my pigeon doves and my bull. Hey, check out my bull. All its legs are straight today. Right? Not one longer part. Yes.
Maybe, even if they have just a genuine response.
Okay.
The kindness of the Lord.
Right.
But also, even when we have ways or other methods of how we want to do things for God, but he has...
Don't tie it into us yet. Don't tie it into us. But you're tying it into them, yes.
Specific way for them.
If it was a genuine response out of what?
Out of love.
Out of love. Wow. Yeah. I think that would dictate an offering. Like, I've just seen God's faithfulness to us. I want to offer to the Lord, and the Lord says, oh, but the concept, I need to know that, hey, when I offer to the Lord, I want to offer my best. Yeah. And so I begin labeling this one in my herd, like, hey, I've been watching you grow up, little lamb, little bull, like, you're the best one. You're for the Lord. And all the kids, all my family's going to know this one, Betty the bull. Betty's going to be for the Lord because it's the best. She's the best. Oh, no, it has to be a male. So it has to be like Billy, Billy the bull, right? It has to be a male without defect, right? Okay, good. So what would this tell me about the people Israel? Right? What would this tell me about the people Israel? Right? What does this tell me about the people of God? What would it tell me about them? Give me some things. Now that I thought through it a little bit, what would this tell me about Israel?
They needed direction.
They needed direction from God, specifically with respect to what? Their offering. They needed guidance. Okay. What else?
They need a reminder of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And once, when they can tie back to what God has done for them historically,
yes,
then they can apply to where they are now and
right.
The giving of the...
Right, right. Because here it says, Kai was making an observation. At the end of all this, he said, I'm your God. I am the one who brought you out of Egypt. That you would be my people, that I may be sanctified among you. I've done all this for you. I'm reminding you of who I am. So perhaps it's to draw the response not of, I only offer because of what it benefits me, or I only offer because everyone else is doing it, and that's the tendency of the people. I think God's setting up a program to say, hey, do you remember who I am? And if you're willing, out of the right attitude and right response, you offered your best to me. Yeah, yeah, right? Great. What does this tell us about God, then? What would this tell us about God? Give me one or two things of what this speaks to our God. Because we're going up the cake, right? We're going up to the top layer of the cake now. What would this passage tell me about God? Tell me. Just one or two things. Huh?
His holiness.
Why? That's such a Sunday school answer, Dr. Wong. Tell me about His holiness. Why?
He demands the best of us.
Okay. Is that fair, though? Doesn't that make Him to be a little bit, like, snooty? Like, hey, don't give me the fun-size Snickers bar, because I love Snickers. Give me the full size. Like, I deserve the full size. I don't know why it's called fun size anyways. It's not fun. It's too small. It's the not fun size. Fun size is big size. Okay. All right. So, what else does this tell me about God? Yes. Okay. Is there anything that it can be correlated to help me understand God's holiness, that we bring the best to God? Is there anything?
He's perfect.
He's perfect.
Far from that.
Okay. How about? Have you guys studied China history, emperors, European history, kings? Do you bring the worst to the king of the land? You don't, right? A good king who's powerful and good and loving, you bring your worst, you bring your best. What else will this tell us about God?
You want people to honor me.
Yes. He delights in the honor of his people. He loves when his people honor him, sanctify his name. He loves when people have the right attitude. Kai and Nancy saying, it's about remembering who he is, and then the right response is, I want to honor him. Yeah, good. Right? And I think God is good because he's helping us have direction. He's giving his people direction. Right? Okay. Yes? Okay, how do you get that out of here? Yes, he wants to rescue us out of what?
Well, I mean, just in general, like, when I think about, like, kind of, like, be the hero or
yes.
provide a way out.
Yes. Okay, good. Good. And that's great. So I would say that's great in general because we read that in other places in Scripture. But when we're doing our devotion, we're saying, what's the meaning that we're getting out of this? Do we get God as our rescuer? Maybe, because here, right? If you said, yes, I see that here, great. Right? Yes.
It looks like we're the best out of the Israelites.
Oh, okay. So that's a different way of saying that. He wants to bring out the best. How so?
Well, by choosing to sacrifice your best,
right.
then you're making the decision for yourself.
Good. Yourself. Right. Okay. So there's a regulation, but it's kind of that picture that Nancy's saying, as I'm raising my herd, I'm labeling Billy the bull to go to God. This whole setting aside my best is bringing out my best for God. Oh, God brings out our best. Wow, okay, that's good. You see that? We haven't even talked about New Testament saints yet. See, we haven't even talked today about how this can apply to us today. We haven't even got there. You see how exciting this is? Just looking at God's word and saying, what did this mean for his people back then? Because then the next section, which we don't have time for, is how would this apply to you today? There are many things that this points to for us. Because the blemish, free, the best, the perfect sacrifice was with him.
I don't know if this is in any way related, but I think, you know, in this particular passage, God is telling us to give the best, right? But I think, you know, God gave us his best to us,
right.
Jesus.
Right? What pointed to that?
It's just perfection.
Yes.
Blemish free.
It's right here, yeah. Right? All of this picture so that these can be accepted before God, to be acceptable to God, to be acceptable to God. All of, the only thing that is acceptable to God is what is best and perfect. And so God even knew himself, in order to satisfy, without the shedding of blood, there would be no atonement, remission for sins. That had to be fulfilled through his very best. Wow. That's God. That's what tells about, as a New Testament believer, that's what tells me about God. God not only brings out the best of us, he has brought out the best of himself for us. That's huge. So then when we talk about attitude today, when we offer, are we writing offering checks because this is going to be benefit to me? Oh, because everybody else offers, so I guess I have to. I'm going to save like the most crumbs to God. Or am I offering God my best? Out of response of his faithfulness to me. You see what I mean? We haven't even got to that. So I'm like 10 minutes over. I wanted you guys to think about that today. But the next part is for you to say, now, how does that apply to me? After we did this exciting stuff, now the exciting part of a small group or devotional morning is like, now how does this apply to me? Right? Good? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word and for the study of your word, and it's exciting to do it together. And Lord, even through this small passage, a little nugget deep in your word in Leviticus that we don't always want to read, we can draw out so many precious gemstones Lord, of who you are and your goodness. And now as a New Testament believer, I see that all of this was painting a picture that you would give your very best for us. Yes, you want to bring out the best in us, but you've always given your best to your people. What kind of king and sovereign, what kind of great emperor of any land would give all of his very best for his people? I don't know. But I know that there is one, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. And you are worthy of our praise. And you are worthy of our best offering. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry that I went over. That's it. Leviticus, we're done. Drop the mic.